to just lean in and learn more of how you love us and how you guide us and how you have direction for our lives. So teach us. Maybe be very teachable. Maybe be different when we leave than when we came. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, worship team. Well, we're continuing our series today that I've called Simply Stressed. And how many of you have had a stressful weekend? You just say, yep, it's me. Yeah. We started the series last week, and I would just encourage you, if you weren't here, to go back and listen to last week's message. That's kind of where you, I think we need to begin when we talk about how do we move through our stress, how do we cast our anxieties on God. And we looked at Psalms 23, and I think that's the beginning of bringing, you know, for God to bring peace into your life, is to really know who He is, that He is our Lord, that He is the Lord my shepherd, that He is my provider, that He is with me, just to know who He is. And as you begin to understand and know who He is and that He's going to keep His promise to be that in your lives, He begins to give you confidence to make it through whatever you're going through and give you the courage to cast your anxieties, your stress, your discouragements, your hurts on Him, because He really does care for you, because you know who He is in your life. Well, this morning I wanted to get a little more practical and then talk to you about just this hurried life that we live. And one way that kind of represents that for me is this game right here. I don't know if any of you remember. This is an oldie goldie. It's Bop It. Yeah, it's Bop It. And it kind of, helps me or reminds me of the way my life goes sometimes. And I thought I was really good at this. And, until I played my son many years ago. He got 147 in a row before he missed. I got 12. And so... But I've been practicing, and so I want to challenge somebody today that thinks they're really good at this and see if anybody would like to come up here and kind of challenge me in the Bop It, extreme. This is Bop It extreme. This isn't just a little Bop It. This is Bop It extreme. So who would like to do that? Who would like to come up and just challenge me to this little game real quick? Okay, I guess I'll come to you. How about that? All right. Now, Lauren, you know I'm pretty good at this, right? Do what?
She's been practicing.
She's been practicing too?
See, that's a strange thing.
Now, do you want to play the pass it game, or do you want to play just see how many you can get?
See how many we can get.
Yeah? You don't want to pass it?
No.
All right. You want me to go first? You go first.
You go first.
I go first.
Oh, boy.
All right, so y'all count how many of these I get, all right?
Beat bop, box bop, solo.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Flick it. Twist it. Pop it. Spin it. Twist it.
Four. Was that just warm up or? All right, go ahead, Lauren. See what you get.
Four.
Ryder's writing it down. He's keeping score on me over here. All right.
Beat bop, solo. Box bop. Pull it. Flick it. Spin it. Twist it. Flick it. Pass it.
Oh, we're playing pass it now. Keep going, keep going. You didn't tell me you were a ringer, girl. Here, I'm going to give you your own Bop It right there, all right? Give her a hand. Yeah, give her a hand. Okay, it's the last time I'm going to do that. Make sure I take that out. But I've held on to that. I mean, that's an old one. They don't even sell the Bop It Extreme anymore. And so I've held on to that one and because it just, it reminds me, right? It reminds me of how I live my life, and it gets faster and faster and faster, and we didn't get to see that because I didn't go very far, but it does that. And But I hang on to it because I feel like that's the kind of picture of my life sometimes. I run through life flicking it, bopping it, twisting it, spinning it, pulling it, and I get faster and faster and faster and faster, and then my batteries kind of run down, and I'm not much fun to be around. And maybe some of you are like that too. Anybody want to confess, you know, that, yeah. You know, it's hard, you know, this life that we live. And I tell you all this about me because, you know, I'm a person that's standing before you who has not figured this whole thing out. I'm a fellow struggler in this journey about how to live life where it's not overwhelming. That, you know, and that I don't have to struggle with my anxiety or through stresses that, you know. But I want you to know I don't have this completely figured out. And many of you maybe not either. So I thought this morning I'd start with a quiz on stress to see how good you're doing. All righty? Complete these sentences for me, all right? Just complete the end of the sentence. I am at the end of my... I'm coming... Unglued. Good job there. My life is falling. I'm at my wits. I'm really stressed. I'm ready to throw in the... Yeah, you're pros at this. Yeah. You are professional, stressed people, right? You probably understand burnout quite well. Well, let me just admit this. Hi, my name is Monty Davis, and I am a hurried lifeaholic. And it's hard to admit, right? Hurry, frantic, feeling overwhelmed, out of control, kind of describes much of our lives, I think. Because we pack more into our schedule than any other culture out there. We're obsessed with going faster. The world is getting faster and faster. We have all kind of ways that we think that we're saving time than any other generation in the history of mankind. I mean, you just take our smartphones. I mean, we can do so many things with this. We can talk on it. We can email. We can text. We can watch sports events. We can watch movies. We can download stock reports. It's a GPS. We can keep track of everybody on it. I mean, I can even work the lights with this thing. Watch this. That's not very good. Now you get it. You get the point, right? People trying to save time, and we're going faster and faster and faster. And we have all types of ways to do that. We have Federal Express. We have, Sprint. We have a diet that's called Slim Fast. For some of you sickos, you get your bathing suits at Speedos and... The Bible tells us that hurry and worry and scurry just have really negative effects on us. Many years ago, I was reading a book by John Ortberg, great pastor and author, and he was writing about the hurried life and telling the story when he asked his mentor, how do I become the person that God wants me to be? And he was just feeling overwhelmed and stressed out and burned out. And his mentor was Dallas Willard, which is another great author, theologian of his day. And so he was talking to him, and Dallas paused for a minute, and then he said this: you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And John Ortberg says, okay, he writes that down, that's good, ruthlessly, and then he said, what else? And Dallas paused a little bit, and then he said, there is nothing else. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry in your life. And it spoke to me in such a powerful way back then, and so I began to try to figure out how to do that, how to begin to eliminate this hurried life, this pace. And let me just recommend a book to you. We're going to go to God's Word, but this is a great book by John Mark Comer. He takes that thought, from years ago with John Ortberg and Dallas Willard, and he writes this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's a really great book. It, again, reminded me and even went further this time as I read this book of ways to begin to eliminate it in my life, because there are so many negative effects that a hurried lifestyle can bring into your life. Let me just share with you a few, okay? The first is this: I feel more stress when I hurry. I feel more stressed. When you're always in a hurry, your personal reserves get depleted. You cannot keep charging without recharging. We have to realize that we're not the Energizer Bunny where you're going and going and going and going. Even the Energizer Bunny eventually stops. It causes stress in your life. You have to periodically slow down. Not only for our lifestyle, but also for our physical health. For some of us, our health is directly tied to the stress of our life. And so I want to go to God's Word and see what it says about this. Jesus said it would be a sign of the end times. You will know, he says, when my return is near and all this will be over. Not only will there be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines, but there will also be this condition. Luke 21:34 says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, with drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap." This word dissipation is a word kind of like evaporation. It's the process, you know, where you're not what you used to be, but you don't even realize it, right? You don't even know the process is going on. You're dissipating, you know, kind of evaporating away, and you don't even realize it. The drunkenness is not necessarily the word, you know, for intoxicated with liquor. It literally means I'm carefree. I've given up. I'm living this whatever kind of attitude. And then it says the anxieties of life. And I think this is a great picture of this generation. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful, because that day will close in on you like a trap. You don't even realize it's there, but it's a trap that will consume us. And I think a lot of us are in that trap or in the process of getting trapped. You know, when I'm in a hurry, I'm more stressed. Another negative effect is I lose my joy. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I lose my joy. It kind of goes right out the window. The faster you move in life, the less time you have to enjoy the life that God has given to you. Have you ever noticed when our schedule increases, our temper also increases? You know, I think all of us have done this. When you're late for something, you catch every red light, right? Every train or, you know, a wreck happens right in front of you. When we get mad, we begin to yell at cars that can't even hear us. We start screaming at our dog, right? That's your body and soul saying to you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Job 9:25 says, "My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy." When was the last time you felt genuine joy in your life? I think sometimes we're running so fast we can't feel it. Sometimes we're so serious about life we don't take time to feel joy. Another negative effect is I'm less productive. I'm less, you know, and this might surprise some of you. You think the faster that you go, the more you get done. But the truth is, the faster you go, the less productive you become. All creative people, I think, know this. It's kind of that story where we forget this, you know, if you've heard the story about the sharpening of the axe. And some of us have that mentality, right? I know that would help if I would just stop and sharpen the axe, but I can't force myself to stop and sharpen the axe. I just got to keep working. And if you run too fast, it's the law of diminishing returns. You can't think clearly anymore. You can't create anymore. Proverbs 21:5 says, "Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind." You ever feel like that? The faster I go, the further behind I get. And I think it even gets more critical. It makes me feel empty inside. I realize sometimes when I just go through the motions, I get empty. I forget the reason why I'm doing it. That even though I'm accomplishing maybe a lot, at the end of the day, I ask the question, for what? What was that for? Why did I just do that? You want to know my definition of burnout? Most people think that burnout is spending too much time just doing things. In fact, I don't think burnout has anything to do with time spent. I believe burnout occurs by doing things that don't matter. when you end up just going through the motions, you'll find out there's something dying on the inside of you. And it really has nothing to do with time spent, but everything about I'm doing something that is producing nothing. And you get to the end of your day and say, for what? We kind of end up like King David when he said in Psalms 39:6, we are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And then the most critical, when I'm in a hurry, I can't hear God. That I'm going so fast that I can't hear Him, right? And I think we know He's trying to speak to us, but you can't hear Him. It's like your prayers are kind of just bouncing off the walls, bouncing off the ceilings. You're just not connecting with Him. You ever felt that way, where you're just not connecting with Him? God says, to hear me, you must be still. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you took time to do that? Just to be still. Sometimes God's trying to get a message through to us, but all the circuits are so busy we can't hear it. When was the last time you took time to be still so that God could tell you what He really wants to tell you? I love you, or I care about you. I heard about what you're going through. I plan for this situation. Sometimes we're so busy we can't hear the most important thing that we need to hear in life. And maybe He's trying to say something to you right now. Look at this great verse here in Isaiah. I just love this. It says, and I love it in the Message paraphrase, it says, Isaiah 26:7-8 says, the path of right living people is level. The leveler, capoeo, God, evens the road for the right living. We're in no hurry, God. We're content to linger in the path signposted with your decisions. Who you are and what you've done are all we'll ever want. And, I look at that and I just love that. He's the level, the balancer in our lives. And maybe for you this morning that you need to allow the leveler, to come into your life and to help you get things back in balance. I love the verse 8. It says, do you know what the signpost, it says in verse 8, what it says, we're content to linger in the path signposted with your decisions. Do you know what that signpost is? I believe it's His Word. That there are answers in God's Word to bring your life back into balance and make life make sense again. To bring purpose and passion back. So you're not stressed out or you're not hurried. And what you do really does matter. And so how do we experience the rest that God wants for us? What is that signpost? Well, the signpost of God's Word is, I think we can look at it as just four principles, and I'm going to use the word rest for this. The signpost of God's Word is rest. For God's Word to help us level our lives and begin to rest. And so first, R, we have to resist the constant push for more. If you're serious about bringing balance and health in your lifestyle, you're going to have to deal honestly with your motivations and your values. You're going to have to take an internal look at what drives you, what it is that drives you to constantly keep pushing for more. Why must you always have more, right? More achievement in your career, more money in your bank, more activities in your schedule, more experiences and thrills and pleasure. What is it that drives you to have more and more and more? You need to ask that question. Our generation will work 181 hours more than the previous generation. We work an extra month in the same 12-month period. I told you I wouldn't give you any more statistics, but here's some. 80% of mothers feel unbearable stress. 70% of that 80 say they are sleep deprived. And you might say, Monty, help me cope with the lifestyle that I have. You know, bring me some stress relief. But let me just tell you this, coping mechanisms don't work if we don't change something about our lives. We do too much. It will not all fit. We have to resist the constant push for more. Time management attempts to say, here's my life, make it all fit. And it won't. It doesn't. And so it produces stress and tensions and arguments and fights and lack of sleep. We seem like we try to prove our worth by what we do. And so if you don't hear anything else I say, get this today. As long as you confuse your work with your worth with your work, you're going to be stressed out. Your worth and your work have nothing to do with each other. You are worthwhile because God made you. Jesus loves you and He died for you, and you are you're valuable as a human being. But when you confuse worth and work, you're always going to try to do more. Always try to prove more. You're going to always be in a hurry. Always be frantic. Never satisfied. You have to resist that constant push for more. I shared this verse to you in our Let's Grow series back in January. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. We believe we can have it all, right? And we can have it right now. We believe we can do it all. And let me just tell you, it will cost you your health, your marriage, your relationship. It will cost you sleep. I've given you this illustration, but I think it just fits so good here. You know, say this back to me. $1 is good, then two are better. Yeah. One Krispy Kreme is good, then two are better. One car is good, then two are better. One wife is good, then two are wrong. Wrong. You need to ask yourself that very frank question. Will having more make me happy? Will doing more make me happy? Will having more activities make me happier? No, it will not. So it is better to have less with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. You have to stop the constant push for more. E, examine your life. Evaluate your life. Learn to say no. I mean, that is a $10,000 time management seminar in two letters, N-O. That ability to say no. The number one reason our lives, I think, get overloaded is we just say yes to too many, yes to too many things, to too many people, people that we love, too many things that are important. We say yes to. But soon, once again, our schedules are overwhelmed and we're living, this verse in Proverbs 20:25, an impulsive vow is a trap. Later you wish you could get out of it. Ever had that one? Ever had that? Why did I say yes to that? You ever had that thought? Why am I doing this? Why am I caught up in this? Listen, don't promise without pondering. Don't decide something without deliberating. Carefully and prayerfully make your commitments. Am I in the right activities? Learn to examine your life and to do it regularly. Psalms 39 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire life is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. That's an encouraging word there, right? Like you're destined to die. And you say, well, Mom, I'm so excited I came to church this morning. You're destined to die. And I know this can be, this talk about being hurried, living a hurried life can be heavy, but, you need to examine your life. That's a solution for you. Kim and I, we have to learn, and we're in a season where we have to learn to examine our lives. We're there. And so we begin to talk about our lives, the ministry, our marriage, our activities, our future. What do we need to let go of? Two hands, to one. Peace, tranquility. Psalms 90 says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. I need help because it's easier to say yes to everything and everybody. You can make life better by saying no to some things. How many of you live life and you always make to-do lists? You're a to-do list person. Yeah, I am a to-do list, right? Forever, I've always been doing that to-do list, to-do, do-do, you know. And I don't necessarily accomplish all of them, but I write them down, right? And I begin to understand, you know what you need to do, money? You need to make a to-not-do list. Or maybe even better than that, you know, what matters most list. What matters most list. You need to resist the constant push for more. You need to examine your life. S, you need to submit to the fourth commandment. What I'm talking about is not just some pop psychology, right? It's not just some good advice. It's so important. This point here is so important that God put it in the Ten Commandments. It's right up there with don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal. I mean, that's how important, you know, what we're talking about is. It's the fourth commandment. You remember the fourth commandment? Exodus 28 through 10 says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Of all the things God said, I mean, here are the top 10 moral commands, right? Don't have any other gods, you know, gods before me. Don't make idols. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. And then he also says, take a day off every 7 days. Why? Because God wired you to be, you know, wired you to be in that kind of rhythm of work and rest. Our best requires rest. Look what Jesus said in Mark 2. He said, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to benefit man. It's for my benefit. So what do you do on your Sabbath? I mean, some of you have made that a priority in your life. You're here this morning, right? Everyone is here. But what are you going to do the rest of the day? Catch up on all the things you didn't do the other 6 days? No. No. That's not what God says to do. God says to, you know, really, in this rest, you know, command, he says, really do three things. First of all, he says, rest your body. I mean, have you figured out the fact that if you don't take time off, your body will make time off for you? We're not designed to go without rest. Our best deserves rest. We're not wired to work constantly without any rest. God says, I want you to rest your body on the Sabbath. Sometimes I think the most spiritual thing you and I can do is take a nap. To take a nap on our Sabbath. He says to not only rest your body, but recharge your emotions. And that takes different things for different people, right? You can recharge yourself emotionally through quietness, through recreation, through relationships, you know, taking time for relationships. They can rejuvenate you emotionally and get you recharged, but somehow recharge your emotions and then refocus your spirit. The Bible word for that is worship. Worship is when I focus on God instead of all my problems. When I tune in to the Creator and His power and His love for me. One of the things worship does is it puts everything else in perspective. It shrinks your problems. Have you ever come to church really stressed out, really tired, and by just singing some songs, you know, they kind of help you focus on God, or by hearing some Bible study from God's Word, getting together with some other Christian, it kind of just shrinks the problems, and you're reminded, my God's still on the throne. He's still in control. He isn't dead. He's going to help me. He's going to be with me. He's going to help me through this. And all of a sudden, the problem isn't as big as it was. Worship, refocusing our spirit, puts things into perspective. God wants you to do all three things on your day off, on your Sabbath. Rest your body, recharge your emotions, refocus your spirit. And you know, I'm kind of a bottom line type of guy. I like bottom line stuff. And here's the bottom line for me. Monty Davis is a different person when he spends time with God. That's the bottom line. When I spend time with God, I'm a different person. My eyes are different. The way I hear things is different. My heart is different. The way I love people is different. I'm just different. Bottom line, in the midst of an overwhelmed life, guess what gets sucked away? Time to be quiet. Time to be still. And if your life is on a treadmill of overload, you can run all you want. You can try to run faster. You can try to run longer. But you're not going to find the peace that you're looking for until you begin to keep company with Jesus. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then T, turn to what matters most. Turn to what matters most. Let me just give you three things that really matter. God matters. I mean, do you believe that? You may not believe that now, but one day you're going to stand before God on His judgment throne, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, God matters. A personal, forever relationship with God matters. Luke 12, 15 says, He says to these people, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then He says in verse 20 in that same chapter, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Be rich toward God. Make Him first. The top of your life. If He's not the top of your list, and He's not on your list at all, you must come to that place where you confess with your mouth that He is my Lord, that He really matters in my life. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." God matters. Your relationship with Him must be a priority. Second thing is this: people matter. You know, they're the only thing that's going to show up in heaven, right? People, relationships matter. You know, people matter more than my messages, right? More than, you know, what we do, you know, in our world. People matter. They have impacted your life. You're the sum total of relationships. Galatians 5 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." People matter. Relationships matter. You know, that's why it's important to be a part of a small group and, you know, get to know, you know, somebody in a way that they can hold you accountable. People matter. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." And then finally, eternity matters. Eternal things matter. Living my life in a way that points people to Jesus matters. Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field." What's in that field? Everything that is eternal. Eternity matters. We need to give all we can give, pray all we can pray, serve all we can serve. Everything that we do is about pointing as many people as we can to Jesus so that they can be saved. Because listen, eternity matters. Eternity matters. Turn to what matters most. Reprioritize your life. I mean, that's a powerful principle. You can't just have things in your life. The order that you put them in matters. Order is powerful. Like knowing not only what I do, but what I do first. If I don't prioritize my life, someone else is going to do it for me. Turn to what matters most and put it in the right order. Let me illustrate it this way. I saw this illustration many, many, many years ago. I think even at a business conference that I was at. And it's just meant so much to me over the years. And this jar here represents my life, right? The capacity of my life. And all these, you know, represent everything that I do, right? My schedule, my emails, my appointments, you know, taking kids to activities, to, you know, everything that I do. Facebook, posting, matter, a lot of this is probably Facebook and Instagram, right? Right? It's my capacity. And I really want to make sure God matters in my life. So I put, you know, I want to put God in there. I really want to make sure that He matters, right? And you know, I want to make sure that I have that personal relationship with Him. And I really want to be a person that understands that people really matter, that relationships matter, right? And so, you know, I'm trying to, you know, stick that in my life. You know, be a part of a small group. Make sure my relationship with my family is what it should be. You know, doing whatever thing I need to do. And then, of course, eternity matters, right? And I want to do everything I do to point people to Jesus. You know, everything that I've been blessed with, I want to leverage for Him. And I try to stuff that in my life, but when I do that, it doesn't fit. It just kind of overwhelms and it brings stress. But order determines capacity. Order matters. So what if I become the type of person that says, okay, God matters. And so I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to put Him first in my life. He's going to be the most important thing to me. I'm going to make sure that God is on the throne of my life. And when I try to push Him off and put self back on, I'm going to recognize that. And I'm going to say, no. Self, get back off the throne. I'm going to put God back on the throne of my life because He matters. It's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up every morning and make sure I'm spending time with my God because God matters. And then people matter, right? Yeah, I want my relationships to matter. I want to be able to point my family to Jesus. Relationships matter. I'm going to spend time with other people, encouraging them and letting them encourage me, pouring into them and then pouring into me so that I can be the best I can be. It's going to be a priority in my life. People matter. And then, most definitely, eternity matters. I want to be the type of man and person that everything God has blessed me with, I leverage it to point people to Jesus. Because eternity matters. And then I'm not even telling you you have to give up all this stuff, right? The things that we do in life. No, I mean, they can still be a part of our life. And we can put those in our life. But if we get the priority right, if we get the order right, then it fits. Same size jar, but it fits, right? It's balanced. Because order determines capacity. Turn to what matters most first. Reminds me of this passage in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, where Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear, or should I go to this meeting or this appointment?' Or, you know, for even the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them." He knows that, you know, your work is important. He knows that the activities of life are important, right? He knows those things are important. You need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first Him. Turn to what matters most. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And so I was thinking about that this week. If you ask me to tell you what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, I mean, I could think of some different things to say, but I think, you know, deep in my heart that I would just point to that. What is it like to be a follower of Jesus? Rest. Rest. Because if I live, I have purpose. If I die, I go to heaven. In the storms, He is there. In the peace, He is there. When I'm overwhelmed, rest. Rest. I mean, we all probably have the same amount of circumstances going on in our life, right? But when you're weary and you're carrying heavy burdens, Jesus says, I'll do something supernaturally that you cannot explain. He says, I will give you rest. Come to Him. Resist the constant push for more. Examine your life. Submit to the fourth commandment. Turn to what matters most. And let Him give you rest. Pray with me, please. Father, as we are here in this room, and Father, even those that are listening online, Father, I know that there are a lot of us that are tired or overloaded. We have anxieties of life, Father. And that, Father, most of us probably aren't living with margin. We've kind of been stretched beyond our capacity. God, it feels like everything in our culture says to go for more, go for better, go for faster. But God, I think instinctively we know where that kind of lifestyle leads. And so today, Father, as a group of people supporting each other in this church family, in this place here, Father, would you give us the courage to make a counter-culture decision? Father, we so want to enjoy the life you've given to us, not just to endure it. So, Father, help us to bring sanity and simplicity back into our schedule. Help us to live balanced, healthy lives. We want to have time for relationships that matter most, Father, with you, with those we love, with each other, Father, here in community together. So God, give us the courage to trust you, to come to you, and allow you to give us rest. To live lightly and easily in relationship with you. Now you pray. Right where you sit. Just pray to your God and say, God, will you hear me? And then you just say, Jesus, you know I need this. Thank you for bringing me here today. I'm tired of living with unnecessary stress. So today I want to take the first step. Some of you here and listening, that first step is to surrender everything to your God. So right where you are, just begin to confess with your mouth that you want Jesus to be your Lord. And just say there, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe that you came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for my sins and my mess ups, my stress, my anxieties. And so this morning I turn away from trying to do things in my own strength and in my own way. And just say, yes, God, I'm turning to you. Forgive me. Bring me back into relationship with you, into a forever relationship. God, be my Lord. Be my Savior. And for all of us, maybe you're here this morning and you've taken God off the throne of your life and you really know that, you know, you put self up there. And this morning, maybe you just want to say, God, come back. Be on the throne of my life. Take all the pieces of my life, God, and begin to put them in balance. Level them, oh God. I need a manager. I need a Savior. I need a rescuer. Only you can make the changes that I want, that I need to happen in me. And so right here, right now, I commit all to you. Help me to become more balanced. I want to learn to trust you, oh God, to walk in relationship with you, to rest in you. So help me to do that on this day. And as we step into this week, oh God, may we experience your